Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Protesters chanting shame on you at the groundbreaking for a Nets basketball arena in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn yesterday. Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz heard them, I think.
I'm sorry about some of the noise outside. Obviously, disgruntled Knicks fans. I'm sorry.
All Knicks fans are disgruntled. But so the highly controversial Atlantic Yards project is underway, including the use of eminent domain, the power of the government to buy people's property in the neighborhood against their will and turn it over to the developer, Bruce Ratner, for the project. But if you think the opponents of eminent domain at the site are all political liberals who object to a private company controlling the state, some conservatives also object. Nicole Gelinas from the conservative Manhattan Institute think tank had an op-ed in the New York Post recently denouncing eminent domain for Atlantic Yards from the right. Let's hear her argument. Hi, Nicole. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Why do you consider Atlantic Yards an example of eminent domain abuse, as you put it?
Well, this is a classic example of the government not understanding, at best, its limited role in the private economy. What should the government be doing in Brooklyn, and what would actually do what Governor Patterson wants to do and bring the unemployment rate down, instead of using government subsidies to take private property from someone with less political power and give it to someone with more political power? What they should be doing, what Mayor Bloomberg and the governor should be doing, is say, we're going to spend the same amount of money fixing up the subway system so that you knock 10 minutes off the commute from the outer reaches of Brooklyn to Manhattan. You spend the same amount of money doing that, the same $700 million in subsidies for the arena alone, and you'll create tens of thousands of jobs in the private sector. You'll open hundreds of thousands of affordable housing units, make them closer to Manhattan, improve hundreds of thousands of people's quality of life, instead of picking and choosing a few and basically hoping that people are ignorant enough to be happy being grateful for the crumbs that come out of high-level political dealing.
And listeners, we can take some Atlantic Yards calls here. How do you feel about this project compared to when it was launched more than 5 years ago? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Have you gotten an education on eminent domain through this if you live in the area? Give us a call or write on our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Nicole, you wrote in your piece that eminent domain abuse is a symptom of a deeper problem, that central planning is superior to free market competition. That is, that people in government believe that central planning is superior to free market competition. And that's interesting because the liberal view is that powerful players in the market, like Bruce Ratner and other developers, are so strong and underregulated that government can't resist them. But you see Ratner more as a creature of the state than a creature of the market?
Sure. Ratner is, and this is not Ratner's fault. Ratner is doing what he does. This is the state's fault for not being able to resist him. It's no different than what's going on in the financial industry. The government says, oh, the big bad banks are taking advantage of us. Well, whose fault is that if you let people take advantage of you? Bruce Ratner could not use the power and the threat of eminent domain to have already purchased so many properties that, you know, voluntarily if he did not have the power of the state behind him here. If the state were to get out of the way, Atlantic Yards would look much healthier today than it does. You have uninvestment in the area because of uncertainty. For 6 years, there's been a cloud of uncertainty hanging over the neighborhood. Investors knew, why should we continue to invest in our business? Why should we continue to fix up these old warehouses when this property is going to be seized? And that's why you have the uncertainty and the lack of investment there. You build the infrastructure and you keep up public safety, which is what the government is supposed to do, and the private sector will do the rest of the job for you.
But generalizing from that and from what you wrote in your op-ed, are you opposed to the entire field of urban planning?
No, I'm not opposed to the field of urban planning. It is, how do you define urban planning? You know, you could say that it's urban planning for the mayor to say, we're going to have a 30-minute commute anywhere in the five boroughs to Midtown Manhattan by 2030. That's good urban planning, and you're sending a signal, we're going to keep up our infrastructure so that private investors can feel confident and invest in the city. Same thing with public safety, saying you want to keep crime down. That's good urban planning. It is bad urban planning to say to somebody, somebody, we know that you bought this apartment in Prospect Heights because you see that it's an up-and-coming neighborhood, but somebody else wants it just as badly as you do, and he's got more political power, so we're going to take away the property from you and give it to this guy over here. That is income transfer, and this is property rights are one of the fundamental bases of a healthy economy. If the governor wants unemployment to be down, he's got to show that he protects people's property rights. Otherwise, why invest? Why not just look to the state to do all of the work for you?
Here's a caller, Mike in Hoboken, who says he's another conservative opposed to Atlantic Yards. Hi, Mike. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Let me just put a qualification on your presentation, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
All legitimate conservatives are aghast at the Kelo decision of the Supreme Court that gave the green light to this sort of activity. It's not just some conservatives. Thomas Jefferson was crystal clear, as were his peers, that property rights are the bedrock of civil liberties. I appreciate the Manhattan Institute's pragmatic approach, but I would just plead for clarity that conservatives, that is, those who care about constitutional government, are appalled that property rights have virtually evaporated since the Kelo decision. Thanks for taking my comment.
Mike, thank you. Do you want to comment on that, Nicole?
Sure. I believe that property rights and protecting constitutional rights is pragmatic. This is the best way to get investment in the economy and to create jobs and to make sure that New York can get through this downturn. You know, this is not some sort of pristine debating society theory. This works. And if you look at other big boondoggle urban developments projects around the country in the past 50 years, they haven't given the benefits that were promised. You know, look at the Kelo case. This is vacant lots and fields. The private investors have deserted New London, Connecticut. Look at Pole Town going back half a century in the Midwest. These projects have not created the jobs and the investment that were promised, and all they do is make more people dependent on the state rather than dependent on their own ingenuity and risk capital to create jobs. The state's job is create the infrastructure and create the public safety. And it's very ironic that we are actually not doing that. You know, the MTA gave Ratner and the state much of this property for a song. It's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The MTA needs that to keep up the subways. And instead, we're using infrastructure money to build luxury housing and hoping that Ratner is kind enough to save some of these housing units for affordable housing. The whole thing is absurd.
If a city deems an area to be blighted and sees that the market alone is not providing enough incentives for productive development, isn't it a good use of local government to develop plans for such places in the city's interest to alleviate poverty and lack of decent housing? And the supporters of Atlantic Yards say that was the case here. There was the hole in the ground, the scar in the ground, that the market by itself was not coming in to fill or couldn't be filled without using the property around it. And so the state had to do something or it was just going to sit there.
The city and state should handle the blighted properties that they already control and then come back and make that argument. The Deutsche Bank building, downtown Manhattan, city and state have controlled that now for nearly 10 years, and that is an active threat to public health and safety. So why don't they succeed in that project? Public housing elevators, which killed a young boy a couple of years ago, are another threat to public health and safety. Why doesn't the city take care of that problem? And then they can come back and once they've fixed active problems at central planning projects that they are already running, then they can say, we're going to do this at other people's property. And when you look at why is property blighted in the private sector, a lot of times it's blighted because of crime. We know how to fix crime, much better policing, criminal justice. It's blighted because you don't have public transportation going out there. We know how to fix that. At Atlantic Yards, there's no part of it that is blighted except for the uncovered rail yards. And arguably, arguably that's not even blighted either. You know, if people thought a highway was blighted, they wouldn't build multi-million dollar apartments over the West Side Highway in Manhattan. People don't seem unhappy living with a view of the rail yards. But if the MTA and the city and state want to cover up the rail yards, build some limited buildings on top of the property that they already own, go ahead. They don't need to take private property to vastly increase this project far beyond what the facts would justify.
Arthur in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arthur.
I find it incredible that I am agreeing with someone whom I read occasionally in the New York Post, but I absolutely do agree with her, with one exception. I think when people argue for property rights, generally it's used to advance the goals of the property rich. Our problem in New York is that we have a mayor who is so eager to provide every accommodation for development, we might as well call him His Eminence. He doesn't really care. These things are not about urban planning. These things are about offering at a very, very cheap rate property that's in disuse for developers.
Arthur, thank you. And Nicole, would you go that far?
I think if the mayor really wanted development, he would concentrate on public transportation. All the mayor and the governor really want are warehouse apartments for people to live, pay very high personal income taxes for a while in their young 20, 30 years, and then move out of the city before they require public services, you know, the school system and so forth. These are just going to be one-bedroom luxury, in quotes, tax warehouses. And to knock down historic pre-war buildings to build cheap construction warehouses for single people and roommates living here for a few years is just ridiculous. And this is not free markets. Free markets do not create this.
I'm glad you brought up the question of affordable housing, because Governor Patterson was there also at the groundbreaking yesterday, but he wasn't just celebrating it like some of the others were. He was saying, now we have to get out there and make sure that Bruce Ratner keeps his promises to develop thousands of units of affordable apartments, which were in the community benefits agreements. And I know that one of the critics' fears now is that in this economic downturn, Ratner will not build those homes. He'll build the stadium because it works for him economically, but the plans for affordable housing and other community benefits will be canceled. I think you just articulated your skepticism about the whole enterprise of government-funded affordable housing. But in your understanding, is the affordable housing guaranteed now with the force of law?
No, it's not guaranteed at all. Even covering up the rail yards for the MTA is certainly not guaranteed with the force of law. And when you look at the affordable housing component of this, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of privately owned affordable housing out in Coney Island, out in the farther reaches of Brooklyn and the Bronx, but we have no reliable, fast public transportation to get there. If the mayor and the governor want affordable housing, build the infrastructure and the affordable housing will build itself. And, you know, for people who say, oh, no, the city has to build affordable housing directly, well, we've been trying that for nearly a century and we still don't have enough of it. So why don't we try it my way at just once and see if it works?
So there's no way, as Patterson was promising to do, to hold Ratner's feet to the fire on this, in your opinion?
No, absolutely not. Once the land is transferred, it is in the governor's interest to have regulatory forbearance to get this built as fast as possible, so you don't have a vacant lot there, a vacant lot that was created by the uncertainty surrounding this project in the first place.
Well, the groundbreaking yesterday, after all these years, the opponents fight on. Nicole Gelinas with the Manhattan Institute wrote an op-ed in the New York Post the other week called How Eminent Domain Makes Blight. Nicole, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Likewise.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, we will talk to the superintendent of a school district in Rockland County where they are going to flip the start times for middle school and high school. She thinks high school should start later. And I hear a lot of teenagers' heads nodding out there. We'll find out why.